At Daleville Christian Church, we claim what we believe, and this, our affirmation of faith, from Titus, the second chapter, the 11th through the 14th verses. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. This is what we believe at Daleville Christian Church. Today's gospel reading is from John's gospel in the 17th chapter, the first five verses, and then verse 11. And here, the context of this reading is Jesus' own prayer, prior to his arrest, trial, and crucifixion. Where we read, after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I have been mentioning that this month we have a different kind of sermon series. We've celebrated 30 years together. I've kept a file of sermons that people particularly liked. Some of those people are gone now to their heavenly reward. So since we begin this month of November with All Saints Day, so we will hear sermons the saints were glad to hear. This message has been tweaked a bit for your sakes and for my sake. I've learned a few things since the word was preached originally, and I want to share those with you. But the overall message remains. These are words the saints were glad to hear. It was in a Lenten series of sermons we looked at the pathways to the empty tomb of Jesus. We read in the accounts of the Bible of several people, women and men, who went to where Jesus had been buried after his crucifixion, and they all found the tomb empty of Jesus. The tomb was empty of Jesus' body. The body of Jesus that had been placed in the tomb just a few days before. You may recall that there had been soldiers present at Jesus' entombment. There was a guard placed there, and they knew the tomb was later empty. Mary Magdalene saw the tomb empty. Some of the 12 disciples saw the tomb empty. Peter saw the tomb of Jesus empty. There was one other there that morning who experienced the empty tomb, and that was Jesus himself, who, by God's power, emptied the tomb in which his body had been placed. Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified one, was resurrected and left his tomb empty days after his body had been lovingly placed in the tomb. Commentator William Barclay takes notice of this detail about Jesus' empty tomb. He notes that the grave clothes, the sheets used to wrap the body of Jesus, were still there in their folds, for that is what the Greek words mean. They lay there just as they had been when Jesus' body was in them, but there was no longer any human body in the grave clothes. So it wasn't, as some have suggested, that Jesus was resuscitated and came out of the tomb, by which they also failed to explain the removal of the stone. But the description of the tomb is that the grave clothes were not lying there as if someone had unwrapped them or taken them off the body. No, the body was just not inside the grave clothes, and yet the grave clothes were still lying there, just as they had been when Jesus' body was in them. Why such a detail? John knew it was important. We can even contrast another man brought back from the dead. You recall that Jesus brought Lazarus back from the dead, miraculous enough, but John records another detail of that from death to life experience for us. John tells us that Lazarus was wearing his grave clothes when he came out of the tomb. Verse 44 of John's 11th chapter, the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And so Jesus instructs the men, take off the grave clothes and let him go. That's different than at Jesus' tomb. We can conclude in part that Lazarus' resurrection was not like Jesus'. Lazarus was resuscitated. Lazarus was raised to life from death in order to die one more day. Jesus was raised to life to never die. Jesus was resurrected. Lazarus was alive again. Jesus was resurrected. Lazarus looked like Lazarus, the same body. Jesus' body had been resurrected, and Jesus did not look exactly like Jesus, and yet Jesus' resurrected body did have the wound marks of Jesus' death that Jesus' body received. So I remind you, are you promised resuscitation when you die, or are you promised resurrection? Resurrection is the promise you have received and all those who follow Jesus. Now, I would tell you another little secret this morning. Jesus mentions it in the words of Jesus' own prayer before he was arrested. Here's the little secret. Jesus led a double life. Jesus led a double life. Yes, he did. Jesus led a double life. People saw Jesus, people heard Jesus, people touched Jesus and were touched by Jesus. Folks were healed by Jesus, but Jesus was not of this world. John tells us in his first chapter of his gospel book, the Word of God became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus says in his prayer, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Jesus was with the Father in glory before the world began. Jesus had a life before his life on earth began. Jesus had a life before the earth began. Jesus had and led a double life. Jesus came from the Heavenly Father. Jesus in his prayer says that he is returning to the Heavenly Father. Here's another clue in John's gospel book. The word sacrifice does not occur in John's gospel book. Isn't that amazing? Now, John the Baptist will call Jesus the Lamb of God, but John doesn't use the word sacrifice. Why? John doesn't focus on Jesus' physical death. What John will say seven times is that Jesus is going to the Father. And in today's verses, Jesus says in his own prayer, I am coming to you, Holy Father. Now, Jesus knew, John knew, and we know the way to the Father goes through the valley of death, but John doesn't focus there. John focuses on this double life of Jesus, Son of God, who lived before the world was made, and Jesus of Nazareth, whose body was laid in the tomb, and they are one and the same person. Or as the ancient church fathers would later outline it, one person, two natures. What Jesus is also saying in his prayer is that when we believe in Jesus, when we accept Jesus, when we see that Jesus represents the Heavenly Father to us, then we are not of this world either. Or we could say that now we too live double lives. Other people hear us and see us. They may shake our hands or give us a fist bump. They might even give us a hug. They might even raise their voices to us, but we don't really belong here. We live here, but we are not staying here. We often appear like others, but we really are only doing what the Holy Spirit directs us to do. I've lived in Daleville for 30 years. Many people might conclude that I live here because I want to live here. Those people have come to the wrong conclusion. As I've tried to make startlingly clear, I'm here because the Holy Spirit told me to be here. John's book says in chapter 1, "Yet to all who received Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, but born of God." So we might look like our parents' children, but in Jesus Christ we are born of God and we belong to God. Jesus says that those who are the Heavenly Father's cannot be snatched out of the Heavenly Father's hand. We who believe in Jesus now lead double lives. On the outside we appear like regular folks, but in reality we are God's children. We are born of God. We belong to God. We are in Christ and Christ in us. We hear the shepherd's voice and we follow him. The shepherd calls us by name. In this world, but not of this world, Jesus says in this same prayer. This is one reason that the butterfly, image of the butterflies on our Easter banner, for example. Why? The butterfly is a symbol of the resurrection. The caterpillar enters the cocoon and is still, but then the butterfly emerges, and Jesus emerged, resurrected from the tomb. The butterfly leaves the cocoon empty. Jesus leaves the tomb empty. The caterpillar leads a double life too, doesn't he? We could think the caterpillar will be a caterpillar all its life, but no, it is transformed into a butterfly. The caterpillar itself is transformed into a butterfly. It appeared that Jesus' life was over at the cross. But Jesus' life was not over. Everyone who saw Jesus at the cross and in his burial thought that was the end, even though Jesus had tried to tell them differently. Jesus told the disciples over and over again about his double life, that he was from the Heavenly Father and that Jesus was going to go to the Heavenly Father, that death was not the end. But no one caught on until that first Easter morning. No one caught on until they saw the empty tomb. Then they got it. Jesus' testimony was true. Jesus was the authority. Jesus was from the Father. Jesus did have a double life. Jesus even told Mary Magdalene, "Do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father," as they stood in the garden near his tomb. But Jesus is going to the Heavenly Father because Jesus had come from the Heavenly Father. The word that John's Gospel likes to use is the word sent. Sent. How about 48 times in John's Gospel? Just for contrast, Mark's Gospel uses the word sent a dozen times. John uses it four times as much. Jesus is sent from the Father, and Jesus is returning to the Father. Jesus said, "The Father himself sent me. I came to do the will of the one who sent me. I must work the works of him who sent me. He that sent me is true. He who sent me is with me. The will of the Father has sent me." The word in Greek for apostle has the same root word. Apostles are sent from the Lord. The prophets of the Old Testament are sent. The crucial question Jesus is asking you and me is whether you and I believe that Jesus was indeed sent from God when Jesus said, "I have come down from heaven." Jesus was sent. Once the work of Jesus on earth is completed, Jesus is to return to the Father. Jesus said, "I go my way to him who sent me." John uses similar language to talk about the new life that Jesus offers us. Since Jesus is from the Father and Jesus is going to the Father, you and I can be born anew, or we often say, born again. The Greek word for born anew can also be translated born from above. Jesus is from above, Jesus is going back to the Father, and you and I can be born from above in Jesus. The double life, for we are born of our mothers, and we are born from above through Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. But to all who received Jesus, who believe in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of the flesh, but of God. We are born from above, not of the flesh, not by human decision, but born of God. Jesus had told the disciples, "It is for your own good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him." And so Jesus, having provided for his own, Jesus having provided for his church, Jesus, through his crucifixion, ascends in triumph to return to the Heavenly Father. Jesus' going allows us to be sent to fulfill our purpose on earth. The one who was sent to us from the Heavenly Father now sends us. And as Jesus said in his prayer, "For you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. But they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me." We are now sent that others might know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom the Father sent. Amen.